All right, second session. The witness of the Jews, the diaspora. What Paul is asserting here, after he presents the devil's advocate or the straw man assertion, all this massive Jewish negative volition, of all people, got it? Of all people on earth, with all the advantages, the Bible, their history, all of it, and they can't figure out the way of salvation. They flipped the script and put works in the place of faith to get eternal life, faith in a coming Messiah, a coming suffering Messiah that would suffer in large part his human sufferings. I'm not talking about the divine ones, the three-hour darkness thing. That was the setup for that. I'm talking about his sufferings from his arrest through the whole ordeal of crucifixion. Yes, the Romans had a part in it, the local administration there. Of course they did. They caved in to Jewish pressure. We're going to go talk to Caesar. That got Pilate's attention. He wants to be on good terms with Caesar instead of administering Roman justice. The man hasn't done anything to merit anything close to this. Okay, I'll just whip him and turn him loose, and you can get your pound of flesh that way, and we'll go. No. You're no friend of Caesar's. And then he goes through this stupid ceremony of washing his hands. I wash my hands of this. That's going to do a lot of good. But anyway, the Jews, they're the ones that ought to know better. I went over this in the first session. We'll talk about the ones that are real big on the Old Testament. I just looked up there. Some Psalms you can read. It was their deal. How about the ones about the suffering Messiah? How about you read your Mosaic law? You revere Moses, right, supposedly? Well, you'll find out in your law that when you're kicked out of the land, it's because you're out of line. And you can get back to the land by turning back to God, which the southern kingdom illustrated in the 70-year captivity. They illustrated that works. They repented in captivity. And a segment of them opted to come back and start up the second commonwealth. So you can read this in your law. And what do you think you're all out here scattered all over the face of the earth for? Go read your prophet Ezekiel. See, you're doing just like your fathers did. You're rejecting your own prophets while you're saying nice things about the Bible. You know, the Old Testament. Well, the Jews can't escape. The one I told you from Ezekiel that the final restoration would start up with, not because there's any righteousness to be found in you. Your uncleanness among the nations is apparent. They were supposed to be the priest nation and be a witness to the truth to the nations. And they did this at times for a while, but they fell flat. By the first advent, they were, at the very end. There were some good believers among the Jews, but not enough to carry the show. And certainly not in the leadership. So we're going to switch to another people. Oh, that one's in your Old Testament too. We'll get to that later. Oh, that's in your Old Testament too. That I'm going to make you jealous with a people that's a non-people. I'm going to take a non-people, non-covenant people, and I'm going to make you jealous with them. And I'm going to make them a covenant people. Since you can't seem to get your act together corporately. Okay? But in the meantime, through history, and based on our verse 18, Paul uses debater's technique, but I say, surely they've never heard, have they? He's not serious about this. It's a setup for what follows. And a quotation from Psalm 19, verse 4, that has nothing to do with the universal witness of the gospel to the Jews. Confused completely? Well, I gave it to you in first session. Just as there is a universal witness through the physical creation to all humanity, from the very beginning all the way through, a universal witness of a supreme creator. By observing the creation, we can draw some conclusions, and we don't even have to be a believer. We can draw some conclusions about his essence, his invisible attributes, his power, etc. To make this happen, this creation. Got another explanation for how it got here? The accidental approach? Material things left long enough to their own devices will turn into this? It's like saying, you leave this lead on this table long enough and eventually it'll turn to gold. Those people that were into that, trying to take... and the term eludes me, involved in that pseudoscience of changing lead into gold called the Philosopher's Stone. Guess who spent untold hours and copious notes doing this? Sir Isaac Newton. He was into this stupidity. That by working with this and messing with this, you can turn it and never, obviously didn't work, did it? Just a side note. So, just as there is a universal witness through the creation to all humanity with regard to the existence of an all-powerful Creator God, it's out there. I don't care how primitive they are, how advanced they are, I don't care. This witness has been there. It is a strong, powerful witness. It's not weak. It's powerful. And a lot of people observe the creation. And you know, their natural thoughts are going to be from those with the highest IQs to the, you know, they're going to ask the question, how did it get here? You can look over here and see this structure that's been built or this detailed object that's been built. We know that, whether we know who did it, we know some craftsman put that together. We know that automatically. We don't have to meet him. You don't have to see him. You don't have to know him. We know that a human being with their skill and genius made this item. So the thing is, when we see this creation, we ask ourselves, how did it get here? And the unavoidable thought is the existence of God. Even these atheists, these stupid atheists, a lot of these, and typically those people that are evolutionists and believe in the current universe thing, there's a lot of them typically are atheists. They don't want God in their thinking. But it's too late. He's there. But they want to push it aside and come up with some theory that's going to put them to utter shame. An explosion occurred. A big bang, and a theory came up. Then I read another thing. Well, maybe that wasn't the way it was. There is sufficient evidence for the human race that there's an all-powerful spirit being that made this happen. It's the only way you can go, because and don't go running off with aliens. Stupid. Where'd they come from? You know, so you can't... all these little rabbit holes, they want to run down this one and run down this one. Stick with the obvious and the simple. You know? that there is a being that can create things and bring them into existence that don't exist. In whatever forms he chooses, however sophisticated, however all these organisms, they're interdependent. You know, you can't have, if you don't have this one for this one, you got to have pollinators for flower, for plants, you got blah, 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 blah. It all works. It's all, the evidence is just powerful. I see it all the time in the littlest creatures. I'm amazed. Look how fast that little thing's wings are going. I wonder how long it took it learn to fly. It started flying the minute it hatched. And it's just a little bitty white thing with little wings just shooting around. And all these things, God put them here. All of them. All the things. Without a question. And you want to believe some preposterous theory? The pagans all had, well, this is the God of and the God us of, and did this and did that and all that. Instead, just keep it simple, stupid. That's a lot of ways things are. Just keep it simple. Like I say, you know, you want to know why, you want to know why this falls back down here. It's heavier in air. Now that's a simple explanation, isn't it? If it wasn't heavier in air, it'd be floating around up here, and there wouldn't be some mysterious force tugging at it to pull it down. It's another theory, bogus. My job is to expose evil and to make things clear. Pray for me. I know you do. To make things clear. Because I believe that most of us here, at least, we're committed to the principle. We wouldn't be here. We would have left with family and went running over the hill to the first Fundy church of whatever'sville or whatever we're going to do. Because we just want to know the truth. We fear God, and we want to know what he has done and how it works. And if there's any mistakes made on my part, we'll get them corrected and get them online. I don't mean out there. I mean in the record book. It's a quest, growing in grace and knowledge. You don't get it all. Unless you die, then you can have it all downloaded real quick. Isn't that going to be? Will it be a shock to somebody that's so stupid, a believer that's got all this crap in their heads, and they suddenly, you know, fall over with a heart attack and go to heaven and know everything all of a sudden? What a shock! It's more common than you might even imagine. So, with regard to all this, their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. Paul uses this verse not as a proof text, but as an illustrative text. Got the difference? A proof text would have been a different matter. That doesn't prove the Jews were all evangelized. It's an illustration to show that they indeed have been and are being and will continue to hear the truth about their true Messiah. They talk about a Messiah coming all the time. They do in their writings, and they think it's the last days, and they think this, the deal with Russia is Gog and Magog, and this is going to happen, and blah 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 blah. But they don't have the New Testament to complement the Old Testament. And that's a pretty big amount of information, even just from the standpoint of prophetic info. They don't have that. But they got the Old Testament. They got enough information that they should have been able to work their way out of the hole they got themselves in. But no. Blindness continues to plague Jacob, corporate Israel, until the day of the Lord. And then things will change. So in point 11, he uses this verse to show, on page 16, to show that just as men everywhere and at all times have received a witness, so also the Jews have in their history been exposed to a gospel witness. And there will be those individuals that jumped on board. They didn't go with the majority of the Jews. If the Bible makes the Jews and their history look bad, prophesying their abuse and not holding Jesus in esteem because he's born under humble circumstances or he's not out here doing whatever, and then turning on him at the end after he did all this good, unequivocal good, healing people, casting out demons, and the rest of it. And he did all this good for all the miracles you have in the Gospels. That's just, John says, that's just a representation of the amount of miracles he did on a given day when all these crowds are bringing their sick and everything to him. They got this witness. You need to act on it. But he'd teach, and a bunch of disciples would peel off when he would talk about eating his flesh and drinking his blood. As a figurative language for faith. And a bunch of the disciples walked away, his close-in disciples, they're all vibrating, and they're going to go away. You know what he said to them? Oh, please don't go away. No, he didn't say that. He said, you going to go away too? You going to join them? They had enough sense. They said, no, I don't think so. It comes down to the individual. It really does. You have to make the decision for yourself. Someone can be in your ear feeding you stuff that's contrary to what you're hearing here. And maybe you can't escape them. Maybe it's your whoever, spouse or somebody. You need to listen. You're a free moral agent and independent, and you can listen. And you hear the argument. Because there will be those that will try to convince you otherwise with regard to certain doctrines. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. Anyway, all the Jews have heard that Jesus Christ is their Messiah, but most by far have rejected their Savior. Jews from the diaspora took the message about Jesus back to their homelands. Here's just one example. After the day of Pentecost, there's a bunch of Jews from around the world that came on this pilgrimage. Where are you going? Well, we're going to catch a ship and we're going to sail across the Mediterranean and we're going to blah, 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 and go. And it was going to be just another Jewish Passover. Just another. They'd done it before, maybe. Let's just go do it. And boom, they step right into the crucifixion event, and then they step into the day of Pentecost. And 3,000, now I don't necessarily mean all of them were expatriates, so to speak, but 3,000 came to faith. And it says in Acts 2 that they took the gospel back to their Jewish homeland. Guess what happened when we were in Jerusalem? The Messiah was crucified and fulfilled these verses and was resurrected. And 50 days later, this event occurred. And people are speaking in languages they couldn't possibly know. And all this is going on. Oh, and 500 of them saw him ascend to heaven. That's what happened to us on vacation. So they took the message back in Acts chapter 2. And this ongoing, of course, with the growth of the church and the spread of Christianity and missionaries and all the rest of it, they've heard. They have heard. They may be polite about it in their rejection. Even a lot of evangelicals and Jews in Israel today are like this. I'm not saying they ought to be hostile to them. I'm just saying you care about that person. You care about that person. You're going to tell them about Jesus Christ. Oh, we've heard that. Yeah, you've heard that. He is the Messiah. Look at your Old Testament. One Jewish young man was on the streets of Jerusalem but just asking them questions, like conversation piece. It'd be like I was talking reasonably about the flat earth. I'm not screaming at you. Have you considered? Like the one I recently heard that someone sent over to me. This guy was saying, he named a plane. I can't tell you what airplane it is. It is the fastest plane on earth. It's out of service. They want to make a replacement. At top speed, it'd go 2,300 miles an hour. They got one. It's going to, if it was going to be tested this coming year, blah, blah, blah. And if they put it on deal, it'd be almost twice that. Well, what he was trying to point out is, he says, to maintain flight over a curve, you know how fast it has to drop per hour, per minute, per second? It's nuts. There's no provision made for that. The fastest plane on earth, flying over a globe. He said, but it applies to all planes, regardless of their speed. Constant adjustment had to be made. And I had someone in my face yelling, gravity pulls it down. Really? Gravity looks up there and says, I'm just pulling the nose down, but not the tail. But this is when you get in a religion that's goofy. You believe the goofiest stuff. You went to church and someone put a wafer on your tongue and told you it was the literal body of Christ. And you know damn good and well, it is a wafer. It is a flower product. You know it. And then the guy that has to drink the rest of the crummy wine, because we sure can't put that down the drain, because it's the literal blood of Christ. And these are intelligent human beings who go there and believe this hocus pocus. Because you say a certain Latin phrase, boom, 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 boom. There it is. And Jesus would have that much flesh and that much blood all over all the masses over the centuries. Too bizarre. But hey, we have a deal at the door. It says, check your mentality. Check your rational, check your reasoning skills. And just emote. And let your emotions run you. That's where a lot of this comes from. Because like I said, as a kid, I never had the skills to ask basic questions. Because if you question the basic model, now you could talk about details about the model till hell freezes over, but you can't question the model. How does this work if this is what you say? I'll bet you most of these teachers that are teaching high school biology, or not biology, but we call it, we had earth science, we had a little thing on the universe and all the old business. They were never challenged with any of this. Nobody ever said, hey, sir, respectfully, you got this globe. It's the first thing I saw when I started school at a country schoolhouse. A little globe sitting over there. We didn't have one in our house. Not because we just didn't. How does this river go up here? Isn't that a fair question? It's called the Nile. You play hell explaining that one away. So that, there we are. That's why this is an angelic conflict. And we're going to win. 14, the Christian witness of the church age has exposed worldwide Jewry to the gospel. I mean, after all, these are these Christians out here saying that the Jewish Messiah, whom they rejected, is the Messiah. What Jew could live their life and not even hear and not ever heard that? And if you were Jewish, someone See, that's how Paul, in his early evangelism of the Jews in the synagogue, approached them. He said, "Hey, let's take a peek at our Old Testament. We're all on the same page. We agree this is the Word of God, right? Yeah. Okay, let's go with this." And in most cases, it just ticked them off. It really ticked them off. But there was one synagogue in a town called Berea. They weren't like their counterparts. I guess there was something in the drinking water. Just kidding. They weren't like their others. They were more noble. They searched the scriptures to document what Paul was saying. Went, there it is. How'd that escape us? But if you're up here to please men, then you're in the wrong place. So Paul employs the language of 19:4 to express his view that the Jews throughout time have gotten a gospel hearing. 16, he does not quote the verse to prove the point, but only to make a comparison. 17, he employs the language of the psalm to make the point that the Jews throughout time have heard the claims of who and what Jesus Christ is. All right, will someone shut this off for me? Thank you, Father, for the opportunity. Continue to be with us in these last days. Give us everything we need to finish this out. In Christ's name, amen.